So thank you again for the opportunity to come and share something with you. Many of you are here, you are more learned and experienced than me, but I will try my best to share something according to what we've heard from our teachers. In Shastra, we are hearing many, many wonderful things about the opportunity to enter again into Krishna's pastimes. The opportunity to enter into Raja Vrindavan, which is our original true home. Srila Prabhupada gave us this beautiful song, Jaya Radha Madhava, to chant before class, because actually this is the Vastu Nirdesh. This is the song which is establishing our cherished destination. We are not residents of Zurich or Switzerland or any other place, London. We are residents of the spiritual world, and ultimately that is the place that we have to re-enter. However, the Shastras, along with giving us the destination, the cherished destination that we should all be aspiring for, the Shastra is also giving us many, many measures of how we can understand we are advancing towards that goal. And so in the Shastra, the ideal destination is given, the Prayojana, the Abhideya, the process by which we can achieve that destination is given, and then many, many different characteristics of advancement are given for us to assess how far am I in that journey. So this is very wonderful, because every day, every month, every year, we can look back at our life and we can chart our progress. One measure of advancement that's given is how much reduction of material desires are there within our consciousness. If after 15 years one is still coming in front of Krishna, please Krishna, give me a house by the sea, a color TV, a million gigabyte MP3, Jaya Jagadisha Hare. Then we can understand that maybe the advancement is not occurring because many material desires are still there. Another advancement or measure of advancement that's given in the Shastra is what is the quality of one's character. In Shastra, Krishna is describing what is the character of someone who is becoming spiritually connected. Didikshava karunika surida sarvadehina ajata shadrava shanta sadhava shadu bhushana. Are you becoming tolerant? Are you becoming compassionate? Are you becoming a kind friend to every single living being? Are you carrying such a character that there is no one who can feel enmity towards you? Then you can understand. Sadhava sadhu bhushana, you are awakening the ornaments of a sadhu, a saintly person. So we can look within. Sometimes it's not nice to look within. One devotee once said to me, he said, my mind during japa period is like a horror movie. So another way in which we judge our advancement is by the quality of our character. Another way we judge our advancement is through our faith. Shastra is explaining, as you go from kanista, beginner, to madhyam, intermediate, to uttam, advanced, then the quality of one's faith is increasing. But another very beautiful measure of one's advancement is a very, very simple measure that's given in Shastra, but something which is very beautiful. And today I will try to share this with you. Now, one of the most beautiful measures of whether one is advancing towards the cherished destination is whether they are developing a taste for Hari Kirtan and Hari Katha. Bhagavatam says, Dharma Ashramasthita Pumsham Vishvakshayita Katha You can do so much dharma, you can do so many duties, you can do so much sadhana, you can do so many things. But if all of it does not culminate, viksha chena kathashuya, in an ardent desire to sit down and hear the talks of Krishna, shrama eva hi kevalam, all of your activities are useless, waste of time. In other words, everything we do is just so that somehow we can become enchanted to hear about Krishna. The greatest souls in the universe are just enchanted to sit down and hear about Krishna. The sages at Naimisharanya are hearing Sutta Goswami speak. And what do they say? Vayam tuna vitripyama uttama shloka vikrame yatrim vatam rasadhyanam svadu svadu pade pade. They say, oh Sutaji, you keep speaking. Because yatrim vatam rasadhyanam, this jnana which you're speaking, this knowledge, is full of rasa, is full of taste, is full of mellow, is full of relish. It is capturing our imagination and enchanting our hearts. Svadu, svadu, pade, pade. At every moment when you speak from your mouth, we are gaining newer and newer taste. So this is the greatest souls in the universe. They never tire of hearing. One of Sunda Goswami's names is Ugra Shrava. Ugra Shrava literally means a voracious listener. In your life, you may have met individuals who are voracious eaters. Sometimes you can come across. That's very nice if they're eating prasadam. But maybe one day our prayer is that maybe I will become a voracious listener of Krishna Katha. Someone who is just able to sit down and hear the talks of Hari and forget about the world. Then one can understand there is some advancement taking place. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he trained his disciples in the art of how to hear Harikatha. One time he was giving a class like this, and one individual, he walked in and he came to the deities and he offered his pranam. And then after offering his pranam, he walked straight to the door. And just as he was leaving the door, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati shouted at him. And he said, how was your eye massage? So this person was. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, do not think you can see Krishna through these eyes. Shruta Ikshita, if you want to see Krishna, you cannot see Krishna through these eyes. You sit down in the class and you hear the talks of Hari, and through the transcendental vibration, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya, Chitete Kuriya Aikya. From that transcendental sound vibration, your consciousness will become purified, your eyes will become salved with the ointment of love. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. And then maybe you can go in front of Krishna and see. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he trained his disciples in the art of how to listen to Harikatha. This is not a simple thing to be able to sit down and just listen. In today's age, when there is so much distraction, it's very, very difficult. Bhagavatam says, Prayenal Paishaha Sabhya Kalabhaspin Yugejana Manda Sumanda Matayo Manda Bhagya Hiyupadrita. Bhagavatam is explaining why spiritual life in Kali Yuga is so difficult. Because there are all of these qualities, bad qualities, that we're infected by. But this is a very beautiful verse, because Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in the commentary of this verse, explains that there is a progression in this verse. And this is how he explains it. Prayenal payushaha sabhya. In Kali Yuga, to get Krishna is very difficult. Why? The first problem is alpha ayusha, you have a short life. Most people don't live a long time in this world. In England, if you live to 100 years old, the Queen sends you a letter. Probably by that time you've lost your eyesight, so you cannot even see anywhere. So in this world, people are not living a long time. Alpa ayusha, alpa means small. Ayu means life, a small life. And even you live a long life, there are so many things to do, you have no time. So Bhagavatam says, first problem, alpa ayusha. But Chakravarti Pad explains, even if one makes time, even if they make time in Kali Yuga, the next problem, mandra. They're lazy. No, I have time. Okay, but then they're lazy. That's the problem. Next problem. So we don't utilize our time, we waste our time. Even we have time, we don't utilize it for the purposes of spiritual connection. But Chakravarti Pad goes further. He says, say someone makes time and say they're not lazy. They're very active. What's the next problem? Sumanta mata. They have very small intelligence. So even you make time to hear Bhagavatam, you're not lazy, so you genuinely try to read Bhagavatam. But then the third problem is sumanta mati. You don't have no intelligence, well, you will understand Bhagavatam. You cannot understand. But then Chakravarti Pad says, then the get out clause is you hear from someone who has understood Bhagavatam. But then he says the next problem comes, manda bhagya. Unfortunate, because you will be tricked, because you will hear Bhagavatam from someone who doesn't know Bhagavatam. There are more imposters than genuine people in this world. So that's the fourth problem, he says. You make time, you're not lazy, you're not intelligent, so you decide to hear from someone, but then the person you hear from cheats you. But then he says the final nail in the coffin is that say you make time for Bhagavatam, you're not lazy, you're not intelligent, but then you hear from someone, and you hear from someone who can explain Bhagavatam to you, the final last problem in Kali Yuga, upadruta, you're always disturbed. So finally you come in front of the person who can teach you Bhagavatam, but because we're so disturbed, we're sitting here, but our mind is in 50 million places. And therefore, Prabhupada said, spiritual advancement in Kali Yuga, very difficult proposition. Because to do a simple thing, like sit down and hear Hari Kirtan and Hari Katha with focus, very difficult. Srila Prabhupada in 1932, he came to Vrindavan. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was doing a parikrama. So Srila Prabhupada came there and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was in a place called Koshi. Anyone has been to Koshi? It's right on the borders of Vrindavan. So Prabhupada came there and it was evening time. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was taking a whole group of devotees on parikrama. And that evening, the parikrama group was leaving for another place called Sheshashali. So the parikrama group left, but there was an announcement that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur will stay back this evening in Koshi and he will give lecture. But most people, they did not want to break their parikrama. It was their niyam, it was their regulation. So they continued on to Sheshashayi. But Srila Prabhupada, who had come as a grihastha to Koshi, he said, what I will see of the dham? I'm not qualified to see the Dham. Better I listen to Guru Maharaj. Better I listen to a sadhu. So Srila Prabhupada stayed in Koshi. And only 10-15 people stayed in Koshi to listen to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur lectured that evening, 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, long lecture, philosophical lecture, complex lecture. Srila Prabhupada stayed and he listened to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And later on, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, at Srila Prabhupada's initiation, Atulananda Brahmachari introduced Abhay to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And Abhay, he was not famous, he was not well known. But when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur saw him, he said, "I know him. I know him. I've noted him that he likes to hear." And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was so impressed that our Srila Prabhupada liked to hear. So this art of how to hear Harikatha is a very beautiful art. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, another time there was one army general, his name was Kundan Lal. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was thinking, how will I tell this military man about hearing Harikatha? So he looked at this Kundan Lal and he said, just like in a war, there is a helicopter. And the helicopter comes into a land and it slowly comes down. And then finally the helicopter lands on the ground. And then the doors open. And when the doors of the helicopter open, then all of the soldiers come out with guns and they go in all directions and they take over the whole land. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was giving this analogy. And then he looked at Kundan Lal and he said, now sit in front of a sadhu and let the words of their Krishna Katha emanating from their mouth, let those words descend upon your heart and let those words of the Shabda Brahman land in your heart. And when the vibration of the Shabda Brahman lands in your heart, then all the syllables of the Bhagavatam will pervade every aspect of your being and purify your whole consciousness and take over your heart. So this was a very nice analogy of how one has to allow these words to land in the heart. And then this Harikatha is very, very powerful. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, once he was in Sachinandan Gaudiya Math, and they were having class every day in the evening. So you know in India it's like marble floor. So they put straw mats, isn't it? Otherwise too cold. So only a few people were coming. So the speaker was sitting here and then they rolled out just where Prabhu is, and they rolled out this far just for a few people. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur came and he said, why you only roll the mat to them? He said, but Guru Maharaj, only 5-6 people are coming. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, when the talks of Hari are going on, then all the sages, all the demigods, all the eminent personalities in creation are coming. Brahmayadi Deva Bane. Everyone is coming to hear Harikatha. You take the mat all the way out. You cannot see them. They are coming to hear the talks of Hari. So, if one learns this art of how to hear the Bhagavatam with rapt attention, Srila Prabhupada writes in one purport that one should hear the Bhagavatam with rapt attention. Sometimes we're sitting in a class and we feel not much is happening. You see? Maybe I should go out and I should do something practical. Just like you may see a bull And the bull is working very, very hard, isn't it? Some bulls. In the manner they work hard. So the bull is working so hard, isn't it? And then you see the cow. Do you ever see cows working hard? Most of the time when you see cows, they're sitting down. And when they are sitting down, the only part of their body that's moving is their mouth. Because they're chewing grass. So you look at a cow and you think, this cow, what work is this cow doing? All it's doing is sitting down all day and chewing grass. He hardly moves a few inches. The only thing you see moving is the mouth. But from the moving of the cow's mouth, the cow is chewing the grass. And then what is the cow producing? Milk. And what is that milk doing? That milk is nourishing the whole creation. So one may look at a cow and say, what is cow? You should do something practical, no? Do some work. The cow is giving the most valuable because it's churning the grass and producing the nectar. So similarly, this is what the sadhu does. This is what the saintly people do. You may say, why don't they do something practical for the world? They are like the cows. They are chewing. Yatrimatam rasam jnanam svadu svadu pade pade. They're churning the words of the Shastra. And as they churn the words of the Shastra, then they're able to give the nectar to the whole universe. And this is the most valuable contribution. So this was Srila Prabhupada. He was the one who gave the most valuable thing to the world because he gave Bhagavatam to the world. You see, Srila Prabhupada in his life initiated many, many temples. He initiated many, many projects. He initiated many, many different activities within ISKCON. But actually, if you see, Srila Prabhupada's greatest project, in my humble opinion, from what I've heard, his greatest project was to give Bhagavatam to the world. Because if you look at Srila Prabhupada's life, the project which he spent the most amount of time on was what? Translating Bhagavatam. The project which he gave the most valuable time of his day, the early morning hours, that project was translating Bhagavatam. The project which Srila Prabhupada was working on from the very first day of his mission to the very final moment of his mission was what? Translating Bhagavatam. And only when Srila Prabhupada translated the first canto of the Bhagavatam did he feel he was ready to come to America. Because Dadva Vishargo Janataga Viplavo Yasmin Pratishlo Kuramanta Matyapi Namanyananda Sayatan Kitaniya Trimanti Gayanti Grinanti Sadhava. The Bhagavatam is that literature which will create a revolution in the world. So Srila Prabhupada's greatest project was to give Bhagavatam to the world. The talks of Krishna, the purest form of Harikatha, the galitam phalam, the ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic knowledge, the sarva shastra vibhusha, the essence of all scriptures, the sarva vedanta saram hi, the cream of all the Vedas, is Bhagavatam. And Jiva Goswami, he says the Bhagavatam is Sarva Pramana Chakravati Bhuta. The Bhagavatam is the emperor of all evidence. So this is interesting to know. Why is the Bhagavatam so special? Jiva Goswami explains that the Bhagavatam is the emperor of all Shastras, we can say, for four broad reasons. The first reason why Bhagavatam is considered the emperor of all Shastra is because it was written by the most prolific author in history, and also when that author was at the maturity of his realization. Shrimad Bhagavate Mahamudigrate Kimbaha Parivishvara. Who can be a more prolific author in the history of creation than Vyasadeva? And when did Vyasadeva reach his maturity? When he was instructed by Narad Muni. And after being instructed by Narad Muni, Vyasadeva had a vision. Anantao Pashamam Shakshat Bhakti Yogamadoksaje Lokasya Janato Vidvams Chakre Sadvata Samhita. Vyasadeva had a realization, he had a vision. He saw that the world is becoming misdirected, and therefore now I have to bring out the essence of Krishna Katha. And therefore, Vyasadeva, he is a rishi. A rishi means, comes from the Sanskrit word drishya. So Vyasadeva was not just someone who had knowledge, he was seeing the knowledge, he had realized the knowledge. And therefore, he wrote it in his maturity. Bhagavatam is not written in Sanskrit bhasha. It is written in Sanskrit bhasha, but it's explained that actually it's written in Samadhi bhasha, in the language of trance. Because Vyasadeva wrote the Bhagavatam when he was in spiritual trance. Therefore, Jiva Goswami says the first reason that Bhagavatam is considered the topmost is because of the author, the most prolific author, writing it in his maturity. The second reason Jiva Goswami says why Bhagavatam is the emperor of all Shastra is because of the listener. The listener was Parikshit. Parikshit himself was a highly qualified listener. Parikshit heard, you're going to die in 7 days. And what did he do? Atmajaya sudagana pashudra minabandushu Rajya cha vikale nityam virudham namatam jaho. Parikshit heard, you're going to die in 7 days. There was no hesitation. There was no fear. There was no frustration. There was no dissatisfaction. What did he do? He gave up his treasury. He gave up his kingdom. He gave up his family. He gave up his position. He gave up everything. That's so difficult to give up. And he just walked to the Ganga to just immerse himself. Because the listener was so qualified, and because the listener was in such an urgent situation, therefore, the inquiries of that personality are the most important inquiries, the most essential inquiries. And because his inquiries were so profound, the knowledge which then came about as a result of those inquiries was also similarly profound. So Jiva Goswami says the second reason why Bhagavatam is considered most exalted is because the listener was so qualified. The third reason Jiva Goswami says why the Bhagavatam is so exalted is because the Bhagavatam is founded upon a certain question. And this question is profound. And what was the question? The sages of Naimisharanya, they asked Suta Goswami a series of questions. But the first and most important question they ask is, what is the ultimate benefit for all living entities? And when the Suta Goswami heard this question of the sages, what did he say? Manaya sadukrishnoham bhavad birlokamangalam yadkrita krishna sam prashno yena dhva suprasidati. Manayo sadhu prishnavaham, O munis, O rishis, the question you have asked, sadhu, excellent question, Bhavir Loka Mangalam. Shri Jagannath Mahadev Swami Maharaji. Why is this question so amazing? Because it is for the auspiciousness of the entire society. And Yenatma supersede, the answer to this question can satisfy one's soul. So the question that Bhagavatam is based upon is so profound, and therefore the contents of Bhagavatam are so profound. And the final reason that Jiva Goswami gives why Bhagavatam is the Pramana Chakravati Bhuta, the emperor of all evidence, is because of the methodology of how the Bhagavatam reaches its audience. It's mentioned in the Puranas that different shastra instruct the readers in different ways. The Vedas, they instruct the reader like a father instructs a child, in a very didactic way, in a very authoritative way. The Puranas, they teach their reader like a friend teaches another friend. And the Kavyas, the poetries and the Vedic literature, they teach the reader like a lover teaches another lover. But what is explained is that the Bhagavatam teaches like all three. Some parts of the Bhagavatam are like authoritative. Some parts of the Bhagavatam are like a friendly advice. And some parts of the Bhagavatam are like loving enchantment. And therefore the Bhagavatam is containing all the rasas. Therefore it's explained, rasam alayam. You see, in the Hindi there are different words, alaya, isn't it? Vidyalaya means library, you know? Bhojanalaya means a place where you get food. Aushadhyalaya means a place where you get medicine. So what is Bhagavatam? Rasamalayam is the place where you will experience all the tastes, all the varieties of rasa. And if you don't taste the rasa of the Bhagavatam, if you don't approach the rasamalayam, then you will remain encaged within the dukhalayam, the place of misery, which is the material world. So Jiva Goswami is explaining that the Bhagavatam is this book which is so valuable, and maybe, you know, we take so much for granted that we have access to the Bhagavatam, but actually these talks of Hari in the Bhagavatam are the key to reaching our ultimate destination that we want to get to. So today I am sharing this with you for all of us to meditate on, that how much have I become attached to the talks of Krishna? How much am I able to focus and allow my mind and heart to be absorbed when the Krishna Katha is going on? This is a huge measure or barometer of one's spiritual advancement. What is the Bhagavatam teaching us? The Bhagavatam is teaching us many things. Let me read one nice verse. I was thinking of meditation for Kartik, and I came across this verse from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. I thought it was a very beautiful verse. So I'll share that verse with you. Yatahi shako lavanam vanevak shudham vina bhogya chayo yathacha vinada bodha divashastra patha phalam vinada magano yateha. So this is Brihad Bhagavatamrita, 2nd volume, 6th chapter, 230, if you want to know it. What is being said? Yatahi shako lavanam vineva. Imagine tomorrow someone will give you vegetables, but they don't give you any salt. Okay? Kshudam vina bhogya chayo yatha cha. Imagine tomorrow someone will bring a meal in front of you, but you have no fire of digestion in your stomach. Vinata bodhat iva shastra patha. Imagine tomorrow someone will speak so much shastra to you, by the end of the day, you never understood the deeper meaning of that shastra. Phalam vina rama gano yatheva. Imagine you have so many acres of gardens, but you have no fruits or flowers. What the verse says is that imagine now someone does devotional service, but they have no prema. Then it's just like all of these things. If you do devotional service, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Advanivedanam, you do all the angas of bhakti, but you have no prema. What Brihad Bhagavatamrita is saying is like having vegetables without salt. It's like reading shastra without understanding the meaning. It's like having a meal but no fire of digestion. It's like having acres of gardens but no fruits or flowers in the garden. What is the value of all of these things? Because you don't have the corresponding thing to make use of it. And so Brihad Bhagavatamrita is saying that to engage in the angas of bhakti without prema, without some love, you ultimately will not be able to experience what is the real meaning of those angas of devotional service. So what the Bhagavatam is doing is reminding us that prema or love is ultimately what it comes to. Kaviraj Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says, Prema dhana vina vyartha daridra jivan das kori vetan more deha prema dhan. Kaviraj Goswami says, who is a poor person? Prema dhana vina vyartha daridra jivan. If one has no prema, daridra jivan, they must be understood to be a very impoverished living being. Therefore, what is Kaviraj Goswami's prayer? Das Kori, O Krishna, make me your servant. Vetan More, and as your servant, I only pray for one salary. Deha Prema Dhan, give me some love, Krishna. I want to have some love for you. So Bhagavatam is the ultimate love story. Because Bhagavatam is showing us that the goal of everything is to develop love. We may have our conceptions of who is more advanced or what advancement looks like, but the ultimate measure of advancement is that who has the most love. That person is the most advanced. One may think that brahmanas are higher than shudras. So what does the Bhagavatam do? It gives you stories where it inverts. Sutta Goswami becomes the speaker in Naimisharanya in front of all of these Paka Brahmanas, but he is of a lower birth. But he is considered authority because he has love. Someone may say, men are higher than women. So what does the Bhagavatam do? It gives you all of these stories where the women are shown to be higher than the men. Why? Because they have love. The gopas come to the yogic brahmanas. They are not willing to give, but the wives give their very selves. Kaliya is trying to attack Krishna, but what do the Nagapatnis do? They're shown to be so advanced. We may think demigods are higher than demons. Obviously. So what does the Bhagavatam do? It gives you a story where a demon shows themselves to be higher than a demigod because the demon has love. Who is that? Vritrasura. Bali also, yeah. Vritrasura. Vritrasura is in front of Indra. Indra doesn't want to Vritrasura is saying, kick me, I'll go back to Godhead. Indra is like, who is this? This is not an ordinary demon. We may think those who are higher in the social order, the kings, are higher than the simple workers. So what does the Bhagavatam do? You get the story of Jadabharat and Rahugana. Jadabharat is holding his palanquin. He's dodging all the ants. And Rahugana says, you can't walk straight. Finally, Jadabharat gives him so many instructions in the mind. Rahugana says, you are the Bhagavatam. It's only love. Prema Pumarto Mahan. This is the goal. So Bhagavatam is reminding us that the ultimate goal of our life is to develop some love for Krishna and Harikatha and Harikirtan are the means of awakening this love. Jiva Goswami says, you can understand what is the essence of a scripture by looking at what is in the beginning, what is at the end, and what is in the middle. So what is at the beginning of the Bhagavatam? Pariksit asks Sukadeva, what is the duty of someone who is about to die? And what does Sukadeva reply? They should always engage in hearing and chanting. So in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, Hari Kirtan is stressed. In the end of the Bhagavatam, the very final verse of the Bhagavatam, what is stressed? Nama Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Papa Pranashanam. That one should simply engage in Nama Sankirtan, all of one's pap will be removed by this Nama Sankirtan. And what is in the middle of Bhagavatam, in the sixth canto, the pastime of who? Ajamil. And what does Ajamil do at the end of life? Na, la, ya, na. Four syllables. And immediately, despite all of his seeming disqualifications, four Vishnu Dutas come to rescue him. So Jiva Goswami says, all of the Harikatha of the Bhagavatam is meant to lead one to dedicate their heart, mind and soul to the Harikirtan. And so this is the life of a devotee. The life of a devotee is, how in my life can I somehow or other develop taste for Harikirtan and Harikatha? And both are going hand in hand. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, just like we never worship Krishna without Radharani. Radharani is the Swarup Shakti of Krishna. So we never worship Krishna without Radharani. Similarly, we never do Harikirtan without Harikatha, because Harikatha is the Swarup Shakti of Harikirtan, and they complement each other. So, these are points to reflect upon, and I'll end on this point. When Srila Prabhupada came to America, then he wrote a beautiful poem. Srila Prabhupada arrived in America and he writes this poem, Margine Bhagavad Dharma. How does he begin the poem? Prabhupada says, Bora Kripa Koile Krishna Adhame Prati Ki Logi Yonila Heta Koro E Bhagati. Prabhupada begins the poem, Bora Kripa Koile Krishna Adhame Prati. Krishna, you are so kind to me, such a fallen soul. Ki logi yonila heta koro eva gati. But Krishna, I don't know why you've brought me here. Ache kichu karja taba ehi anuman. Nahe gelo anibena ehi ugrasan. I guess Krishna, you must have some work for me here. Otherwise, why would you bring me to this ugrasan, this terrible place? Rajas tama guna era sabaya chan Vasudeva katha luchi nahise prashan. Krishna, I'm looking around at everyone here. They're all covered by the modes of passion and ignorance. Vasudeva, Katha, Ruchi, Mahesa, Prashant, they have no taste for the message of Vasudeva. So like this, Srila Prabhupada is assessing the whole situation. How will I be able to awaken a taste within them for Hari Katha? But Srila Prabhupada did it. And the last line of the poem is very, very important for us. Because what did Srila Prabhupada say in the very final line of the poem? Bhakti nahi, bhedi nahi, khub naam dalo, bhakti vedanta naam, ebisar thakuro. How does Prabhupada end the poem? Bhakti nahi, Krishna, I don't have any devotion. Bhedi nahi, Krishna, I don't have any knowledge. Khub naam dalo. But one thing I do have is strong faith in the holy name of Krishna. So this is a very significant point. How can, of course we know Srila Prabhupada has devotion. Of course Srila Prabhupada has knowledge. But Srila Prabhupada writes this line to give all of us a hope. That if we wake up in the morning and we look in the mirror and we say, Bhakti nahi, I don't have devotion. Bhedi nahi, I don't have so much knowledge. I read so many things. How much I understood, I don't know. We may become very, very hopeless. But what does Srila Prabhupada say? Khub naam daro. If you have faith in the holy name of Krishna, if you have faith in the talks of Krishna, then every other deficiency in one's spiritual life will be made up by Hari Kirtan and Hari Katha. And so that is the hope for us, that when we look at our hearts, when we reflect upon our lives and we realize, Bhakti Nahi, I don't have devotion. Bhedi Nahi, I don't have realization. If we can then look in our hearts and say, but I have some taste for Hari Kirtan and Hari Katha, then everything can be resolved, because this is the medicine. Nivritta darshen upagiyamana bhavosanech chota manobhigama is explained in the beginning of the 10th canto, that Hari Kirtan and Hari Katha is the medicine for the conditioned soul. And therefore somehow we have to absorb our hearts and minds, and every regular times reflect and say, am I becoming attached to the talks of Hari? Am I becoming attached to the kirtan of Hari? Because if you have that, and if that is increasing, and that is developing, and that absorption is becoming stronger and stronger, then one can understand that their trajectory in spiritual life is going in a very, very positive direction. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We have some comments or so. If anyone has any question or comment, or anyone would like to add anything or correction, anyone has any question to ask? Yes.
Sometimes the temple I experienced in India, there's so much seva that we didn't have the time to go to the lecture on Hiyo Hari Katha. And what is the position of someone who's like facilitating? He's like cooking the breakfast, and but he cannot go and listen. So I always felt very disturbed during the seva, cutting vegetables, but I wanted to go to listen. Can you maybe give some light?
We are trying to become servants of the Vaishnavas, we're trying to become servants of Srila Prabhupada. So being responsive and flexible to the needs of the day is a very, very important aspect. However, the hearing of Krishna Katha is what will empower one to do their service with depth and to do their service with sustainability for their whole life. And so if for some reason one is in a situation where their service is interfering with or preventing them from hearing Harikatha, then one must, one day, 2 days, there may be some emergency, but eventually if it becomes an ongoing thing, then one has to make some arrangement. And that means if one is not able to attend the morning class because of seva, then they must hear that class somewhere else. They must find and make some room for absorption in their life. Because all of one's strength, all of one's determination, all of one's resilience and ability to deal with everything that Kali Yuga will throw at me, all of that is ultimately coming from spiritual absorption and immersion in Harikatha and Hari Kirtan. So, while we have to be flexible servants, we should also understand that hearing Harikatha and doing Hari Kirtan in a very high quality way is in itself a service. It is a service. And it should not be seen as a luxury. It's a spiritual life. Rest on it. So yes, we can go to two extremes. We can become so flexible that we don't invest in our own relationship with Krishna through these angas. And on the other extreme, we can become so strict that we only hear but we don't become servants of the Vaishnavas. So both extremes will not give one the full experience of Krishna consciousness, so somehow there has to be a balance where one is flexible to be a servant, but at the same time one is creating time for absorption. And that just requires some management and some adjustment. In Vedic teachings, we find that everything is becoming, beginning in subtle and then going to gross. For example, on the macro level, the universe, what is coming first? Ether. And then other elements are evolving. Even in Christian theology, it says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. So on a macro level, we see everything is evolving from subtle to gross. Even in our own lives, we are seeing that everything is evolving from subtle to gross. There's a desire becomes an act becomes a habit becomes a character, and a character creates your destiny from subtle to gross. So sound is also said to be the seed of spiritual awakening, the shabda. Because sound is, and spiritual, innate spiritual consciousness are intimately connected. And therefore sound is that thing which is activating one's spiritual consciousness. Just like we see in a material way, if someone would play one of your favorite songs from 20 years ago, then immediately when you hear that song, so many memories of that time in your life are coming back, isn't it? The memories, the people you were around, the emotions you were feeling, all of it is triggered by sound, because sound and consciousness is intimately connected. So similarly, the sound of the shabda is that thing which is awakening one's spiritual consciousness from a sleeping state. And so it's very powerful. And sound is also carrying many, many things. When a sadhu is speaking, like someone like Srila Prabhupada is speaking, that is not just the information that they're giving, but it's their faith, it's their conviction, it's their realization, it's their complete dedication Now one is also absorbing, because sound is carrying many, many things. And so like this is a very, very mystical process, how sound is transforming one's consciousness. And therefore, the ability to be able to just sit and hear is not such a simple thing. Bhagavad Mahatmyam is explaining that there are four types of superior listener and four types of inferior listener. So much analysis is done in terms of the quality of one's ability to sit down and listen. When one looks at the breakdown of the 12 cantos of the Bhagavatam, one of the commentators is explaining that the topic, the entire topic of the first canto of the Bhagavatam is Adhikar. Who has the Adhikar to understand Bhagavatam? And why does Parikshit represent the listener who has the highest Adhikar? So much of Shastra is training us in the art of how to become a good listener. Because it's through that listening and that reception of the vibration that amazing things are happening in the transformation of one's consciousness. So yeah, there are many more things to be said, but sound vibration like this is awakening from consciousness. Yes?
You mentioned that Bhagavatam is teaching sometimes like master to a student?
To a student.
And like a friend or like a lover. Is this like randomly there, or is it like structured? We may think at the end then canto might be more like sweet way, or how is it?
Is you see, the Bhagavatam is giving different things to the reader. For example, some parts of the Bhagavatam are very strong statements which are creating a detachment from the world. For example, you hear Rishabhdev's teachings. Pumshas priyame tumi bhavametam tayor. Is that this? Pumshas priyame tumi bhavametam tayor mituridaya vrakti mahur athopi hakshe trishutaptavitir janasya moho yamaham nameti. The Bhagavatam is speaking very strongly. The basic principle of existence, material existence, is the attraction of a man for a lady and a lady for a man. Because of this attraction between men and ladies, there are children, there are families, there is so much property and wealth, and all of this creates so much attachment and a consciousness of I, me and mine, and in this way one's illusion perpetuates and one is trapped within the material world. Very strong statements. So this is like a master speaking to a student. Discipline. Bringing home the harsh realities of what material life is. Then there is a friend speaking to a friend. You know, like say for example in the fourth canto, you have Narad Muni instructing Prachina Parishad. And instead of directly telling Prachina Parishad, you are an illusion, my friend, what does he do? He says, let me tell you a story. I tell you a story. There was once a king, and the king's name was Puranjana. And you know what? He was the king of a city. And the city, you know what? It had 9 gates. And so he tells this whole story. But even after he tells the story, Prachanda Bhairishan says, I didn't quite get it. What was the point of this story? Narad Muni explained, this is your life. This is your life. So this is like a friend telling a friend. Not instructing, but saying, hey, look, like think about life. And then some parts of the Bhagavatam are just very, very sweet. Isn't it? Creating such attraction for Krishna. In the 10th canto, isn't it? We're hearing Dhammakathamritam Tapta Jivanam Kavibididitam Kalpashapaham Sharanamangalam Srimadadatam Bhuvigradantiye Bhuridajanam. These are beautiful compositions in which the devotees are glorifying Krishna, glorifying Krishna's beauty, glorifying the Vaishnavas who talk about Krishna. Very, very sweet, which creates an attraction. So in this way, the Bhagavatam is giving us everything. It's detaching us from the world. It's making us wise about how to navigate everything here. And it's also developing an attraction for Krishna. And therefore, as I said, rasamalayam, what we find in the Bhagavatam, all the tastes, all the different rasas. How to become a better listener. The first thing is that one must prioritize listening. Means one must give that a quality place in one's life. You see, when one comes and hears Bhagavad Katha, then one should make all arrangements so that they can be fully present, so that they can be fully absorbed. The Bhagavad Mahatmya says you should listen like a fish. Have you seen a fish? Fish, when it's underwater, even though it's underwater, you never see a fish blink. So you should listen like that. You should listen without blinking, just be fully aware, fully present. So I think the first step in becoming a good listener is make it a priority in your life by giving it the best quality time and by giving it quality prominence. Then one must become a good listener. Another very important factor in becoming a good listener is one's own study of Shastra in their own time. Because when one is studying Shastra in their own time, then when they come to listen Harikatha in the association of devotees, then it will be much more enlivening to their heart because that vibration is already going on within their consciousness. In other words, they have already developed something within themselves, and the speaker, what they're speaking, is then latching onto many things which are already in your consciousness. Therefore, you'll find that one who studies Shastra well is also enthused to hear Shastra from others because already the vibration is going on in their heart. Another aspect to becoming a good hearer is given by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada says one should be pure in hearing and chanting, and one can only be pure in hearing and chanting if one is pure in mind, and one can only be pure in mind if they're pure in activities, and one can only be pure in activities if they're pure in eating, sleeping, mating and defending. In other words, the quality of one's sadhachar in how they live will affect the quality of their mind, will affect the modes that they're in. And those modes will then affect how much they're able to sit in the Krishna Katha and absorb. If one is living in the mode of passion, and then one comes to hear Hari Katha, then naturally their ability to absorb will be less. And so this is another very important factor, that one must live a life in the mode of goodness, because then from that mode of goodness, one is able to have more absorption. Another very, very important thing is that as a community, we must create that culture as well. We must create that culture around the hearing of Krishna Katha, that this is a very important part of the day. Just like now in New Vrajadham in Hungary, Sri Ram Maharaj, now every day before the Bhagavatam class, the Bhagavatam comes off the altar, and then the Bhagavatam comes, and then there is honoring of the Bhagavatam. And in this way, it allows one to realize that this is a very, very sacred time. This is a very, very sacred time that we come together and hear Krishna Katha. So there is a whole culture that goes around hearing Bhagavatam, which allows all of the listeners to enter more deeply. So this culture should be created. Like I remember when we were at the manor, there was one sannyasi, and he would chastise anyone who walked out of the class early. It was just like, how you can do that? Krishna Katha is going on and someone stands up and leaves. Of course, sometimes there may be a practical emergency or something. But when we create this culture, where you cannot just leave like this, is Krishna is here. So this is a culture that can be created. So these are all wonderful things that we can do. And where there is powerful healing. Because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, I have noted him. He hears very nicely. He hears very nicely. So, these are some thoughts and some ideas of how we can become better listeners.
Oh, I thought 6:15. Yeah. Oh, okay.
We can go.
Okay, sure. I saw a picture the other day, and Baba said first health, then chapa, then service, and then reading. Can you elaborate on this order?
Yes, generally we're hearing this, that health, sadhana, service, like this. And the idea is that if one is neglecting their health, then their ability to be absorbed will be severely reduced. And we practically see that if someone is having a headache or a stomach ache or something difficult, very difficult to concentrate on sadhana, what to speak of doing service. So generally one must be investing time not to ensure they are not neglecting their body. Even Srila Prabhupada was going out on morning walks and taking massage. However, that order should not be misunderstood, that, you know, and then someone puts so much effort into health that there's no time left for anything else. Because ultimately, we have to realize, eat well, exercise well, have a nice lifestyle, ultimately everyone will become old age, disease, and die. So some deterioration of health is inevitable. So we can never wait for 100% health before engaging in sadhana and service. But the idea is that don't neglect your health. Do what you can within a measured amount to take care of your health, and then get on with the real business of human life, which is to develop some love for Krishna. We will not develop love for Krishna by having a healthy body. We will develop love for Krishna by having powerful sadhana and absorbed service. But we take care of our body because it gives us an opportunity to do those other two things. But if you take care of your body so much that you have no time left for those things, what was the value? So it means we must keep everything in context. So yeah, by all means, take care of health. But keep it in perspective. Any other question? Or you can also make a comment if someone has. Yes, Prabhupada.
You mentioned in the beginning of the class, not much else to be had in this world except the holy name and sadhu sangha. Could you a little bit elaborate on sadhu sangha? You already did something.
Sadhu sangha can have two meanings. Sadhu means someone who's very exalted, someone who's actually perfect. Actually, this is the meaning of sadhu, a perfect person. So sadhu sangha can mean associating with a perfect person. But sometimes there we can also see the acharyas have given a second meaning of sadhu sangha. We generally think of sadhu sangha as associating with a perfect person, but sadhu sangha can also mean associating perfectly with other Vaishnavas. And so if one is able to, with other Vaishnavas who may not be perfect, who may be sadhakas, who may have anartas, who may be on the journey, but if one is able to connect with them in a perfect way, then that's also sadhu sangha. So sadhu sangha means to associate with a perfect person, but it also means to associate with those who may not be perfect, but associate in a perfect way. And what is that perfect way to associate? Dadati prati granati guya mama kati prachuti bhuma bhukte bhojane chaiva sadvina piti lakshanam. You give something, you accept something, give charity, accept charity, you feed them, you accept prasad from them, you reveal your heart to them, they reveal their heart to you. These are loving exchanges, these are the ways in which we significantly associate. So yes, we must... One devotee said, we are good at the first two of the three pairs of those. We're good at giving gifts and receiving gifts. We're good at giving prasadam and taking prasadam. But the one thing that we may not be so good at is revealing our minds and listening to someone reveal their mind in confidence to us. This is the real essence of sadhu sangha, that one is able to be honest with another person. Because in spiritual life, there's no purity without honesty. Honesty must come first. Without honesty, there is no purity. And therefore, sadhu sangha is an opportunity for devotees to be honest with each other. And through that honest exchange, purity can come about within the consciousness. So therefore there must be guhyam akhyati prachiti, and then it becomes high quality sadhu sangha. So yes, these are some thoughts. And what happens? Bhagavatam explains what happens when we associate in this way. Satam prasangad mamavirya samyido bhavanti vidkarna rasayana tajyo shanad ashvapagvarga vartmani shraddha radir bhakti anugramishyati. When you associate in a perfect way, then three things will happen. Shraddha, your faith will increase. Bhakti, your devotion will increase. Rati, and your attraction will mature. This is what happens when one actually has proper sadhu sangha. And sadhu sangha is very powerful. Kapila Dev says in the same series of quotes there, he says a very beautiful verse. Once I met someone, one of the sadhus from the Swaminarayan faith. You have in Zurich, Swaminarayan? Okay, they are like another Sampradaya. So I asked them, for you, what is the most important verse from Bhagavatam? And he quoted this verse. Prashangam ajanam pasham atmanayakavayorudu sa eva sadhushu krito bhokshadvara pavritam. Kapila Dev is saying that attachment to materialistic people is the greatest source of bondage. But that same attachment that you have for a materialistic person, sa eva sadhushu krito, when you transfer that attachment to a saintly person, when you become attached to a sadhu, moksha dvaram apavritam, the doors to liberation are open. And so if somehow or other one becomes attached to a sadhu, one develops some love for a saintly person, then that attachment for the sadhu will take one back home, back to Godhead. Because Jiva Goswami says, the mercy of Krishna follows the mercy of a devotee like a thread follows a needle. So if you get the mercy of a sadhu, then rest assured you will get the mercy of Krishna, because Krishna's mercy follows the mercy of the sadhu. And therefore somehow or other, yes, you must become attached to a saintly person. Everyone in our lineage, our Vaishnava lineage, every perfected saintly person became perfected because of association with another saintly person. No one became a sadhu without serving a sadhu. That is the Vaishnava way. In Vaishnavism, no one is self-made. We are all dependent. Just like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, once he was on a boat and he was going across the Jalandhi. You know, Indian boats, they're very noisy. So he was on one of these boats, and then one man said to him, he said, You are such a preacher. You are going across the world, giving so many talks, transforming thousands of people. But your guru, Gurdishoras Babaji, he is a Bhajanalandi. How you became such a wonderful preacher when your spiritual master is just a Bhajanalandi? And you know what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did? He said, you see that motor? So there was this noisy motor, and it was spinning. He said, I am like this motor. And then he pointed to the wire, and he said, you see this? And there was a wire. And the wire went all the way to the back of the boat, and there was a battery. And he said, my spiritual master is like that. You may think he's a Bhajanalandi. You may think he's there doing his bhajan and I'm here doing everything. But know that all the power, all the shakti, all the potency to do whatever I can do is coming from there. Because that is the power of the sadhu. They are empowered. So yes, this is sadhu sangha. To become attached to a perfect person, and to then learn to associate perfectly amongst those who are with us here. So thank you so much for your association, and thank you for your kind guidance, Shri Sri.
Vishnu Seva, Vishnu Sangha, Jai. Jai.